Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, that was Seven Wonders, sung by Fleetwood Mac from their 14th studio album, Tango in the Night, from 1987, lead vocals, Stevie Nicks. Fleetwood Mac is a British-American rock band formed in London in 1967, and in 1974, while scouting some studios in Los Angeles, they heard the folk rock duo Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks and asked Buckingham to be their new lead guitarist. And Buckingham agreed on condition that Nicks could also join the band. The addition of Buckingham and Nicks gave the band more pop rock sound. And in 1975, their self-titled debut album, Fleetwood Mac, reached number one in the U.S. It reached And in Rumors, the album in 1977 was their second album, and it reached the top 10 with four U.S. top 10 singles in that, and the top spot in countries all around the world. They won a Grammy Award for the album in 1978, selling over 40 million copies worldwide. Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, Seven Wonders. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio, and I am part of a radio group, writing group, chat group on allpoetry.com. If you are a member, or if you'd like to join, because it is a free place to join, just click on the Groups tab and check us out, A Team of Voices, and you can hang out. If you're in earshot and would like to participate, the number to call is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And I am here with Jay Hatter, my co-host, my big brother. Hey, Hatter.
Hey. I'm here. I made it. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Did you recognize that song? Are you a Fleetwood Mac fan?
Yeah. Rumors. Cool. One of the best albums ever.
Yeah. It's one of my all-time favorites. I was actually listening to the album, Rumors, when I saw a picture, and under it there was the caption, Wonders of the World, and I went looking for the Seven Wonders song, and then went searching for photos to bring this show for tonight together. Anyway.
Yeah, what a condition. What a condition of agreement, you know, contractually. Stevie Nicks has got to come, too.
I love that. I really do. It's like, you know. Yeah, it's way too awesome
for
words. Yeah. It's just really cool to see, you know, yeah, I'll do it as long as we're both doing it because they have faith in each other. So that's, I mean, really, really cool. Now, in the meantime, Hatter, we got some people waiting to come in, like my beautiful sweet. Hey, sweet. Glad you're here.
Hey, darling. How are you?
Hi,
how's the world treating you? Hi, Hatter.
Okay, I guess. Better now that you're here. And right behind sweet is the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life. Kay and her hubby Steven. Hello, you two. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
I know. You know what? I don't know why I didn't push that. I do have that somewhere. I think I kept it. That would have been cool.
She's got windier in here.
Oh, did it? Uh-oh. And, well, maybe part of it could be that we have another person breathing in the stereo in the studio with us. Say hey to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
What's happening, guys?
Hello, Wayne.
Glad you're here.
I'm ready to party.
Party.
Sounds like a plan. Party time. So, like I do as often as I possibly can, because I know they just finished a show themselves, I'm going to just run over here, and I am going to grab the poem that Kay put on the board, and we're going to get this party started in here. And as soon as I see there's the board. Ha ha. And Kay, when you see, can you take us away, please?
Yeah, I originally was having a hard time finding words, but then all of a sudden this morning it hit, so this is what I brought. I call us vintage lace, crests and powders to cradle. Snow white linens, misted, twixt lavender lakes of light, and trappings of tulips, the frills of fronds, ever so delicate, feathers of air, ribbons through frost, washed in blue, as mauve lapels rainforest florals, hushings and twilight's blushings, diamonds, platinum worlds, painted golden, end poem.
You know, before I comment on the poem, I really like when that happens. I think once or twice over the last 3 years you've said that before, where you almost didn't have something, and then all of a sudden it was, like, just there. When it's just there, it's usually awesome, like this. Snow white linens misted twixt lavender lakes of light. Just those first two lines is bursting with gorgeous imagery right there. And with words like frills and delicate feathers, it gives a fragile beauty feeling to it. So the words were perfect. And then the mauve, the lapels, the rainforest florals. There are so many gorgeous plants that are in the rainforest that are in risk of being lost. So I like that you had a little nod to the rainforest in this one. And then that last line is absolutely stunning, but I'm not going to quote every line because I want to leave something for someone else. But line after line of beautiful wording painted an awesome picture of the flower, and the colors in the flower are sort of the same as the colors in the ice. So there's like this feeling of even the glaciers would steal the colors from nature and paint the beauty in the sky and onto the snow. And it does, for some reason, now looks like it could be a gorgeous floral. So I think that this came out really great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you some comments. Hatter, what did you think?
First off, a glacier steals the color from nature. How deep is that, man?
Right?
Yeah, the way she used a good something to point out, she uses the word ribbons as a verb rather than a noun, which is a good addition. It's to the run-on sentence, which I think is beautifully done. With feathers, the air, ribbons, things, frost, washing blue. Beautiful, Kay.
Thanks, Hatter.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said I like the alliteration in this little gem. You got the lavender lake of light and peppy of tulips. It reads so well. I thought you were rhyming when you started reading it. It's a smooth ride, a great read, and you painted a wonderful thing. Thank you, Kay. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And my sweet.
Well, I think it was graceful. Graceful with in words and pictures. What I mean by graceful, it was like, well, it's a beautiful song. Graceful is in a bride walking down an aisle. Graceful is in a slow dance. I mean, graceful is in a prayer. I just had that feel. It was just graceful.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, while I get your link, will you comment for your wife, please?
Yeah, I like this too. When I read this, I told you because of the two pictures, I thought that you did a wonderful job speaking to the beauty of both pictures. But after studying the picture while you were reading again and people were commenting, so much of this actually stands out even more to me now. Yeah, I like the alliteration that he was talking, the trappings of tulips and the frills of fronds. But it's a frond that really caught my eye because, you know, you're talking about the leaves, which are obviously in the top picture. But I look at that just off to the left of that hole in the glacier, and it looks like there's a pattern of a leaf in that snow. So it fits there, too, with the frond. So I think it's very cool. Very well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I saw this topic folder. Maybe a few hours after I finished watching a certain movie starring Charlton Heston. Okay. So that was kind of in my head as I started to write this, and I call this Apostasy of Adjudged Abettors. So it shall be written, so it shall be done. Suffer those tallies of bricks beneath the hot sun. The hot sun dries bricks of mud and bricks of straw, gleaned by hardened hands beneath the crimson Levi Shaw. Beneath the crimson Levi Shaw lay passed down notions, deep within the ulcerated lash-scarred backs of Goshen. backs of Goshen and throes of overburdened pace, while stonecutters engrave towering sphinxes' feral face tinted of hubris and hate, decreeing on ash plants delivered fate. Delivered fate makes the Nile River run red. Bitter herbs and burning hail saves lamb's blood from dead. From dead there stemmed a rising cavaclade, derived scarlet water to the burning palisade. To the burning palisade where they now go, into the land where milk and honey flow. End poem.
Hey, way cool the way you pulled the Ten Commandments in there. Wow. The couplets are awesome. Back of Goshen and throes of overburdened pace, while stonecutters engrave towering sphinx sparrow's face. The alliteration there is really cool. From dead there stemmed a rising cavalcade through ribbed scarlet waters to the burning palisade. I think that the rhyme's awesome. I think the gift down at the bottom is really cool because it tied me back to the parting. Beneath a crimson levee, Shaw lay passed down notions deep within the ulcerated lash scarred backs of Goshen. The thought in my mind, the picture in my mind of the backs with the scars on it from that whip, the taskmaster's whip, it is a really sobering thought. And I like how you look at the Sphinx and the pyramids and just think of all the blood, literally the blood, sweat, and tears that went into building it. And that, too, is sobering. So I really, really like the approach that you took here. And before I get another comment, I got a couple callers, starting with the Wizard from Oz. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hanging in there. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Glad you're here. And right behind AP is David. Hey, David, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
And I am just getting some comments for Stephen, who chose the Sphinx. And I am going to go to my suite, please.
Well, I'm going to start watching TV with Stephen. Because if this is what he gets from a little TV, I need to be that brilliant. I love this in just metaphor, imagery, and story. A delivered fate makes the Nile River run red. Bitter herbs and burning hail saves lamb's blood from dead. I mean, he nailed a 3-hour movie in a few stanzas. So this is brilliant. I thought he did amazing. And like I said, I love the imagery. I love, anything that burns and turns red and all of that. But just the burning palisade where now they go into the land where milk and honey flow, the cadence and the rhyme, again, is just brilliant. And I don't know how you did that, like I said, throughout the movie, just that little bit. But, wow, you did great. That was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. Pat, are you going to comment for your nemesis?
Where is his mighty hand?
Yeah. that's when when I saw that picture, that's all I could hear. That everything was, delivered fate makes the Nile River run red.
There you go.
Well, it's
a great movie.
Yeah. Sounds like we've all seen this one more than once. Wayne, what did you think?
I said, holy Moses. I think it's all mummy in this poem. The Sphinx was built about 3,000 years before the pyramids were, and that's what I heard, what I read recently, and they said it was a lion's head to start with, and it fell off, and they put a face on the thing. And so it's pretty, they're saying now it's 3,000 years older than the pyramids, which makes it about 10,000 years old, which I don't know. That's just what I read. And I went there until about 5 years later. And this is a great poem, great rhymes, great words, and you are the poet me tonight. Great couple, good couple you're there. I like you a lot. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And AP, were you here in time to hear the poem?
I'm catching up. I had a quick look. Yes. So I put a little illustration on the board too about the Australians actually being in Egypt and being next to the pyramids when they got ready to go across to the Dardanelles in the First World War, and they brought a few friends with them. But fortunately, those friends were not in this poem. They were was done with great style, with the absence of kangaroos, and it was done with a great vocabulary. And I thought you did a great job with this, Stephen.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment. And Kay, you want to comment for your hubby?
Well, yeah, in my household, this is something that's become an annual staple. So seeing as I've been with Stephen for almost 30 years, that's about the amount of times I've seen this in my lifetime. So, this was after watching the Ten Commandments. So I think what you brought is good here because in speaking to the film, the bigger story itself, you make it all come together very well as to, what was difficult. What became the things that had great strength and sorrow and the sacrifices behind them and coming together and creating new ways. This was a perfect right for your prompt.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Yeah, is this the time where I admit I still have the 2-tape VHS box set of this? Anyway. I just couldn't throw it away when VCRs went out of style, I just couldn't bring I have that and the double Green Mile and the double Titanic. I couldn't throw it away. I mean, what is it, every Easter? Anyhow.
Every Easter.
Christmas, Easter, Christmassy, I don't know, whatever. It comes out every year and you find yourself pulled in. It was a family tradition when my dad was still alive. Okay, now let me see here. Stephen, how about if you tell us what's happening over at A Poetic Slice this week before I go to another poem?
Okie dokie. See, our next show isn't actually until Thursday night because of certain things that are going on this week, but still celebrating Mother's Day. So Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern will be the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and we're going to celebrate another William Hurt movie. They're called Children of a Lesser God. We have quotes from that movie to write to. Yeah, it's a good movie. We have quotes to write to. Check those out. That's 9 p.m. on Thursday. Friday is something different with requests, and it is another edition of Sci Friday and another short story from Philip K. Dick. This one's called The Imposter. It was also made into a movie starring Gary Sinise, so we have quotes from both the movie and the short story to write to, and that's 8 p.m. Friday. And if I may, I'll plug for Sky Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Storyboards, another Star Wars episode, Clone Wars Season 7, quotes, characters, scene. Come and geek out with Sky on Saturday night.
It all sounds awesome. Thank you so much. And if you have to go, I understand and appreciate you both. And AP, are you in a time crunch? Do you need to put your poem right on the board, or are you hanging out for a bit?
No, unfortunately I am. I've got to go get my stitches out of my hand, Deb, today. So,
I feel like they just got around to putting them in.
Anyway,
please put your poem on the board.
They're coming out. So, anyway, I didn't pick this one up long ago, Deb, and I did the poem, had lunch, and then I realized there was a word bank. I thought, oh, damn, I didn't.
Don't worry
anyway,
about it.
But that's okay. No, it's okay. It's got the mix, Deb. It's got retrofitted. This is on Bennelong Point.
Retrofitted.
And it goes like shells, palm fronds, and walnuts, with ocean water inspiring in bands. Throw in South American lost tribes, and a building of our age stands. But edges were only drawings, plucked out to light by vision. Once planning found major issues, sides too heavy once in position. The architect on a path to review, the peeling of oranges to slices sear, sliced the fruit into 14 pieces, and sails went together a sear. In society, feathers flew within intrigue, towering took 14 years to build, but eventually lotteries paid the check, flight of 1973, and Paul Robeson filled. Harbour surrounds the mirror position, horizon with an elegance left the line. Sitting on Sydney's Bennelong Point is the Opera House, the city to come. In poem.
Ah, way cool with like the history of the building and everything. And I see how easily you went and got the word bank and pulled it in there. Now, this is I like the rhyme pattern here, which is not your normal ABAB, which is cool. Something different. You got, what is it, A-B, well, yeah, it's B-B.
B. A-B-C-B.
Way cool. But I like the architect on the path to review, peeling of orange, a slice of sear, slice the fruit into 14 pieces. And it does. It looks like slices sat in different positions. The building is fascinating. And the fact that it is a wonder of the world, it is on the list, is, you know, a fine tribute to the architect. Really, really awesome. And if my memory doesn't fail me, sometime during this 6+ years that I've known you, you did work for a company, and your fancy skyrise office looked right out upon this as you did work.
Yes.
And I think that's really cool too. Anyway, awesome poem. And harbor surrounds to mirror position, horizon with elegance left a line. Sitting on Sydney's Bennelong Point is the Opera House, a city defines. And it's cool, and I believe that's like where you used to do your home, your fireworks and such.
Yes.
And I've seen different colors lighting up each of the roofs.
Of
so
the
I mean, a lot of stuff is featured around the building. I wasn't sure if you would take it when I put them up there, but when I saw that you chose number 38, I was glad you did because I knew that you knew some of the history, and like I said, I was pretty sure that you used to get to... Do you still do work for those people? Do you still go into that office?
That's the accounting and audit firm, Ernst & Young. Their office is overlooking the harbour up there.
Ah, cool. Hatter, what do you think?
Do the shells move? Do they rotate?
No, they don't. No, they're fixed. But if you took all of those 14 sort of slices, you could put them back into an orange again. You could put them back into a sphere, the 14 sails.
The sails.
Wait.
Okay.
The sails.
Okay. I did not know that. What's the significance of the tribes and the shape of the Is there more significance to that than we most people know?
Not really. There was a significant problem with the original design, and it wasn't fixed until the architect Jan Utzon went and reimagined what the roof would look like. And so he did that after the original design had been accepted and completed, because otherwise the roofs would have been too heavy for the sides.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was a solid structure.
No.
Wow.
It's
interesting.
It's like a group of little buildings merged together from outside, but there's separate buildings within it.
You know, a lot of other designs are made from that inspiration of that shooting opera house.
It's really, yeah, it took a long time to build. Brilliant building. So.
Yeah, and I like that. Deborah's right. It's not a little different than you. But your rhyme is always spot on, man.
Thank you.
I like the way you described
yeah.
this and put it in the history, like Deborah said. Yeah, good job.
Thank you very much.
Awesome sauce, and I think it's a fascinating trivia tidbit to know that all the pieces form an orange. So that's very cool. Stephen, what do you think?
Well, I definitely agree with all that's been said already. Thought that this was an amazing educational piece about a structure that I could only describe as a Frank Lloyd Wright type structure, because he always liked to build very oddball structures. Not saying that it's oddball, but it's definitely not normal. But I think it's a beautiful upper house, and I like how you described it as orange peels. And yeah, it's an excellent Wright. Very well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Okay.
Well, yeah, I like how, speaking to the picture, the foundations are well-structured and its walls that hold history, a building up through words. I like the lines, once plan and found major issues, sides too heavy, once in position, the architect on a path to review. I like those lines because in the modeling of a place, these lines, they could be universal to life as well, and taking the review in to make the place stay illuminated with the beauty that is there. It's mm-hmm. definitely a smart right in location and identity. And words. Thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you both very much. And if not before, I'll see you Thursday. And Sweet, what do you think?
Well, I thought it was fascinating. It's definitely on my bucket list, and I can't wait to see it. And in a way, it's oddities and all the problems they had with the moving roof and moving every part. It kind of reminds me of Denver's rooftop problem at our airport, without, of course, the fabulous, amazing ending that the Opera House has. We just have the Madonna bra top on our airport, but I thought it was really cool, and I plan someday to see it.
You should. You should. It's a brilliant structure, and its acoustics are very, very good.
Yes.
Is it with sales?
Comment.
Huh? With the sales, it's acoustics, okay?
Yeah. The acoustics are really, really good. It keeps it. What the design was about was trying to get constant temperature in the building. I think it's about 23.5 degrees Celsius or something like that. That actually means that the acoustics ring to the most effective tone. So the design was all about keeping a constant temperature in the building.
Is the actual theater underground, partially underground, or is it set up?
Part of it is underground. There's several theaters. But this one holds about 5,000 people, and it's about half of it's about underground, yeah.
Cool. And then they can put different sails for different shapes, right?
Yes, yeah, different shapes. Each of them have different shapes, yes. Yes.
That explains, okay. I just thought, man, that looks totally different from this angle. Well, of course, it wasn't the sails, it's the same structure.
Yeah. Well, the other piece that is in the Opera House is it had built into it the Sydney Opera House organ, which is the largest pipe organ in the world. And
wow.
10,040 pipes. So it makes a fair bit of noise.
I bet. David, what did you think?
Well, you know, every time I've seen pictures of Australia, I've always seen this particular structure here, and I always wondered about it. And now I know a little bit more about it. I thought the poem was awesome. I liked the rhyme and meter in it. I liked the history that went into the storyline in the poem. I thought it was interesting, and it was explained a little bit more about the building. I liked it. It was a good, great poem.
Thanks, Doc. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. Yeah, Dave, you know how whenever they do like a disaster movie, they always pick on the Statue of Liberty? Well, when they show what happens in Oz, they always show it destroying the Sydney Opera House.
Yep.
That's how iconic it is. So anyway,
yeah.
I thought I'd throw that in there. And Wayne, before we do your poem, would you comment for AP?
I always wondered where the design came from. It was orange pills. That makes sense. I always heard it had a wonderful sound inside of it, too. It had almost the perfect sound in there. And your poem was wonderful, and you educated me to a degree, so what more could a poet ask for? And I didn't know they had more than one building there. I thought it was just one big amphitheater, but apparently you said they had office buildings there, too. So
it's got about three different performances.
Good job on the poem. Loved it.
Thanks again, Mike. Cheers.
Awesome. Great comment, everyone. And thanks for calling before your doctor's appointment, AP.
It's either fix and they take the stitches out, or it's not, and they stay in for longer, Deb. It's not that hard. I mean, you know, it should be fine. You know, that's what doctors are there for.
Okay.
No,
and
I know. Like
better,
I said, it just feels like they only put it in 5 minutes ago, finally. Sorry, sweet. Say something. Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say, stay better, stay well. Don't do anything crazy.
I second
that emotion.
I promise not to destroy my past myself. I promise.
Okay, I'm going to put you and Hatter in a bubble.
It's on recording. I can't wait.
Is this your hand, doctor?
No, it's my GP. So they'll have a look and work out what they're going to do. So fingers crossed.
I can't contact via computer. All right, see you, AP.
Thanks again.
See you, AP.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, now if everyone will click on Wayne's poem, I have his sound added to the studio, and we will have a listen.
I used all the words again this week. I couldn't help but use them. I couldn't leave them laying there, so I went ahead and used all of them again. It sounds all right.
That's incredible. Well, let's find out what you did with all of them.
This is called The Falls Calls. Lavender water crawls from lake to Niagara Falls. With cliffs tall, the water falls, creating wet walls. Sunshine bright, air lily light, mist takes flight, from twilight to night, listen to the might, waterlog rhymes to right, under the starlight. Two rivers collide, weeping canyons reside, tossing branches to side, letting indigo birds hide. Tiring trees, serrate shadow shore, sparks matched, purple skyline to explore. While silver-weaved willows add more, Radish Resort, Kenneth World Tourist, visit for. Flocks of braided feathers fly by, making diamond dots in north sky. Constellation of dippers rising as a bloom, white cradles, the titanium moon. Garnet glow, a moonlight edge points to distant horizon ridge. Waiting for morning, blackberry stand to color the crimson land. Snow caps on onyx mountains blind, like mirrors and rainbow rings on shoreline. Down periwinkle path with commotion to stain the platinum ocean. 8 surfing children to a hot crest, to see a plucked Arctic seagull's breast, You see, a tourist will pass the test. I'll let you write the rest. Ian?
Bring the phone. Bring the phone, Ian. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're a trip. You know, Wayne, the music in the background was really catchy. I found myself sitting here sort of almost dancing in my feet, snapping my fingers. Yeah. This was so cool between the descriptions. And I can't believe the way you put this word bank together. It came out so cool. Garnet glow of moonlight's edge points to distance horizon's ridge, waiting for morning blackberries stand to color the crimson land. You managed to use all those words, but still put it together with rhyming flow, with some alliteration mixed in, with fabulous imagery, and that, like I said, catchy music in the background. I thought it was really cool. 8 surfing children throws hot crests to pluck the scarlet seagulls to see if the tourists pass the test. I'll let you write the rest. Ew. This is really cool. You're really cool. You're really cool, Wayne.
Thank you, dude.
Fabulous use of all them words. Let me get you some comments. Hatter. Comment for Wayne.
This is so inventive the way you put this together. And being a word bank, too. Wow. Yeah, bring the funk, man. That sounded, if you can sit still with that music going in the background, you're missing life. That was a great addition to it. Like I said, it's more of a performance that did a great job.
Thank you very much, Heather Rand. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And my sweet.
Oh, I love the imagery, and I just giggled the whole way because isn't it just fun to watch children throw things at seagulls and then just pluck away at their, you know, feathers. I just love kids that can torture. It was great. I loved it.
Well, you can write the rest.
Awesome comment. And David, what did you think?
Well, I really like this. This was quite an unusual word bank because I put a poem together just for the hell of it. It didn't have any prompt on it at all of the word banks here, and it really lends itself well to just about any kind of storyline you wanted to write to it. I think Wayne did an excellent job with this. He really described the pictures well with all of the words in the word bank. There's not one wasted word here. On any of the pictures, I think it's really well done, and I thought you did a good job on it, Green.
Thank you, Dave, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome comment, everyone. Thank you. And I have 814 on the line. Hello, caller. Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, this is Blue.
Hello, Exilophonic Blue. You're right on time, and I know you said you had to read and go. And for everyone else, we're going to do this poem while Hal's on his break, and then we're going to go into Dave Prophet's. So let me run over here and get Hal's poem. Here we go. Okay, I will be to the board with it in just a second. And, okay, as soon as you see it, go ahead and take us away, please.
Okay, thanks, Deb. Okay, the name of the poem is called Broken Beauty. It begins, a butterfly flickering in the night, braided constituents, transitory lithograph, morning fog on the southern ridge, cornflowers, cabbage, beams, missing you, glowing, breathing, pulsating, each crest becoming life, falling thistles, twisted, tangled flax, a Viking sunrise and a buffalo plain. Light through agate. The peaks, lava's green soap and indigo. A mouse nearly drowns in the honey. Obsidian bears peer through the wall. Raisin color to flow. Deer crowd up to see the lamp. Violaceous, like birds, beak opens, onyx's glittering night. Alpine fur repeats the conversation. Moon, manufactured glass, fizzled light. Mahogany's bending toward a window. Radicchio radiates, undulating blend. Lightning flash and flint spark. Apache storms, soot, hackiness stem. Her lips, soundlessly moving. Himalayan sea salts, cut in a thorn's rain. A breeze stirs the curtain. Choleric plum reflections, suddenly from Harry Rum's flame. Backward, turn backward. Opals pile up a waterfall. Blackbird printed veils, hand in your flight. Upon parchment snorted berries, seconds bending lilacs just for tonight. Above the waves of moss, broken beauty come back from the echoless shore. Take me again on homeward's moment, fingerprints cradled, carat gold from before. Rock me to sleep, hammocks, pucker softly, kiss to keep, three score, end poem.
Wow. You have so many gorgeous images all through here. I could just go to any section. But, of course, I'm going to scroll all the way back to the beginning, a butterfly flickering in the night. Just the thought of that itself is gorgeous, but there's something in the sky there that to me, like I could almost see butterfly wings above the one mountain. So I like that you started with that. Breathing, pulsating, each crest becoming life. The thought there is gorgeous. The peaks, lavas, green, soap, and indigo. A mouse nearly drowns in the honey. The images take me all over the place. Where was that? Moon, manufactured glass, fizzled light. There is something so gorgeous about the thought of that. You always, the metaphors and the colors together in such a way that it's like this flash, constant flashes of gorgeous images. And by the time we get to the end of listening to you read, if your head's not filled with beauty to the point where you just want to say wow, then you weren't listening. You weren't seeing all the different stimulus that you were providing in your words. I think that the metaphors are breathtaking. I think that you really, really... And the title, Broken Beauty, I wasn't sure where you were going with that because it says Broken Beauty, but you filled it with so many gorgeous images that if it was broken at the beginning, it's not anymore by the end. Wow. Beautiful piece. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the title to the picture, and I do like the addition of thistles. You mentioned twice, I believe. Well, one was thorns, I guess. The other was thistle. They have the most beautiful purple flowers, thistles. So I thought that was a great addition. I don't know if it was intended for the colors that you see in the meadow of just a sea of wildflower. Is well done. Like Deb said, there's beautiful metaphors throughout. You can hang on one to the other. Of course, Deb picked the one I had. Yeah, that was, no, I can't fly.
Thanks.
It. Yeah, no, it was a good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And David, what did you think?
Well, the picture has so many gorgeous lavender and purple and even pink overtones in it. When you mentioned something about the butterfly wings in the sky, I looked up there right above that square plateau, and I'm seeing like giant dragonfly wings. But anyway, the rest of the poem is so well written as to, you know, like this gentleman is actually standing here and he's reciting this just out of his heart to me or to anyone that's around that would listen. And I think the metaphors are beautiful. All the adjectives and the way they're used is really well done. I like the diction on the poem a lot. It's a great storyline on it. Oh, it's a beautiful poem. I thought it was really good.
Thank you. Appreciate that, David.
Awesome comment, David. And let me get you one more before you have to go from Wayne.
Yes, you chose a great pick for this poem, and your poem did the picture for justice. There's great descriptions in this poem, and the flow was wonderful. Who was the her lips move? Her lips silently moving. Who's that referring to? What metaphor is that referring to? I kind of got lost in a little part there, but you had a great layout of phrases here and read well, and I enjoyed the poem a whole lot. I just wonder who her was.
Thanks, Wayne. It's good to have you back.
Oh, great share. Thank you for calling on your break. I appreciate it very much. And I don't know if you can stay for the next poem, but I do have it loaded on the board. And from what I understand, my suite is going to read with David. So, David, you want to kick us off here and tell us what's going on?
Yeah, okay. Well, I am a student of ancient Egypt. I've studied Egyptology for a long time, and I just love it. And when I saw this picture of all of those pyramids in there, I just wanted to write about it. And so I started thinking, I was thinking about this poem. I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the title flashed in my head. And I thought, you know, I better get up and write that down before I forget it. So I did. Anyway, it's called Inside the Great Pyramid, the Silence is Deafening. Pyramids of Egypt span time immemorial. Pyramids of Khufu, myriad of angles. King and Queen's chambers staining in limestone, each at 11.75 degrees times 2, equals 23.5 degrees inclination of the Earth's axis. Two chambers offset from vertical 6.5 degrees between the two. King's chamber level at 50th course, Queen's chamber is level at 23.5 course level, myriad of mathematical angles. I stood inside this marvel of ancient engineering. Its desert drafts carry fragrance from an ocean of age, past the Dead Sea Scrolls, its constant temperature of 20 degrees Celsius, Pharaoh's invitation to his titanium audience, glow of desert sunset of starlight and scarlet fading into the skyline of yellows and golds, moving across its interstellar slideshow, local galaxies slowly revolving in the night. Looking up one of the air shafts, I saw it. A silence fell upon the pyramids, just myself, alone with the dead spirits from 4,500 years ago. A silence so profound, it screamed, for I was overwhelmed with its reverence. I fell down upon my knees and I wept for the magnificence I was witness to. If I live to see the seven wonders, I'll make a path to the rainbow's end. I'll never live to match the beauty again. I spoke to the hieroglyphs. I am not worthy of such grandeur and beauty. My words echoing into the past, resonating off old stones of centuries. I began to see Egypt in her glory. The queen's bark moored, the smell of the Nile on the velvet evening breezes near the entrance to Giza, towering mass reaching for Ra, its grateful necks terminating each end. Such perfection in society, such beauty. I heard a familiar voice cotton candy and gunpowder announcing the Dark Mother.
David, such love thee hast for Egypt. Tears from your eyes. David William, such reverence you have for these people. Bless thee.
I held my queen. Her twilight murmured to me.
Listen to the silence. For it is whispering now, David William.
Kissing her onyx lips within the queen's chamber as the silence of ages closed around us. End poem.
Well, you do a good Dark Mother voice, my sweet. And David, I don't think it would ever be the same if you didn't have her her scent in there as well. I even heard you giggle just a little as you read that part. I like that even after all these years, you still get tickled so much writing her. I mean, it's an incredible thing. And I like that you incorporated the lyric chose from Fleetwood Mac, excuse me, into the poem. I like the historic, I guess is the word, the teaching words that you used, telling us about the 23.5 degree inclination of the Earth's axis. I mean, showing off scientific knowledge there, which you do a lot. A silence so profound it screamed, for I was overwhelmed within its reverence. I fell down upon my knees and I wept for the magnificence I was witness to. That's a stunning stanza. The queen's bark moored, the smell of the Nile, of the velvet evening breezes near the entrance to Giza. You really sit down and always tell us a story. Like I said, and I say this a lot, between the conversation and the scientific knowledge and the details, you are the consummate storyteller. And again, I say, sweet, you do a great job reading for our dear Dark Mother. It was a fun share, David. Thank you for writing for the show. And let me get you some comments. Hatter?
Yeah, I like the way you started. It seemed like a little history lesson, and then you went into a very personal part of it when I had Sweet Reed. So if anybody knows, you would, Dave Prophet, how did they build the pyramids? They certainly did not do it carrying those things.
No, those rocks are way too big for that. And, you know, I'll tell you guys something. A lot of people think that the pyramids were built on slave labor, and they were not. They have excavated around, off to the sides of the pyramids, and they have found that workers actually lived there, and they were paid well, too, and they were treated good. And, I think the Egyptians were smart enough to know that if you didn't whip somebody, you'd get a lot more out of them if you paid them well and gave them good food and a place to sleep, there's a lot of that sort of stuff written in the pyramid text. I have a book on it somewhere, and I've read quite a bit about it, and it's a marvelous. It was probably the most advanced civilization during that time period that ever was. It was light years ahead of the Romans and the Greeks and all the rest of them, And I don't know how they did those pyramids. The easiest thing to say is, oh, yeah, the aliens came down.
Well, I don't know. I like the theory of the Atlanteans, Atlantis, protected humans from the giants. And the giants. Giants and some, I can't remember what else it was, and that they were able to use magnetic fields to move and build the pyramids. And it was, they're a lot older than you think, than we think. Like the Sphinx.
They might be. Well, thanks, Hunter.
Yeah, welcome.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, the pyramids is something I enjoy studying about and read about, and the Great Pyramid of, that had those halls at an angle that you mentioned, the same thing you talked about, because it wasn't really a pyramid. It wasn't a funeral site. It was a mixing chamber to create energy. And the chutes, they had the chemicals flow down the chutes and get in the main chamber there and mix and they create energy from the earth, along with the magnetic pull of the earth. Because all pyramids in the world were all built at the same angle to the magnetic poles of the magnetic forces of the earth. That's where all the energy came from back then. And they had a handheld device that they showed that picture with a circle with a little V on the end of it. There's some kind of device like that that eliminated the gravitational pull of the earth, and a few people could pick up 100 tons. Tons of material and put in certain places pretty easily, so they say. Well, so the whole idea is like we don't have it anymore. It was a great poem you got here, great, very educational, and I enjoyed it a whole lot.
Thank you, William.
It's sort of like that one guy that was five foot tall, and he built the coral gables.
Right. Was, he had a little box he carried around with him, and he could pick up tons of stuff without the energy.
How did he do it? He died
before he finished, but he got pictures of a little black box around that's about a foot cubic, and then he came with a little black box and had something in it that overtook the power of the gravitational pull of the earth, and he can move tons around by himself. He built the whole place by himself.
Yeah.
Amazing. But he died, and nobody knows what he did with the box.
Great comment, everyone. And, Sweet, you read with them. You want to comment, hon?
I thought the storyline was really cool, and I loved the history. I was also a little, not only is he mathematically crazy, but now he, knows everything about Egypt. So, color me more impressed with David. His language is always spot on, and his story is spot on, and now I have to figure out what 11 degrees to 8 degrees minus 15 degrees to 12 degrees of the right sun of Saturn means. But I'll get there. Great writing.
In the author's notes, there's a link that explains most of that geometry in there. That's where I got it. It's something that's plugged into Wiki someplace. But anyway, if you click on the link, it takes you to thank you for
Way
reading,
cool.
too, by the way. You're a sweetheart.
Oh, not a problem. I enjoy it.
I did, too.
Awesome. Great comments for a great poem, everyone. Okay, now I have Titus's link on the board, and then we will do Sweet, Angel, Phil, and Gerald, and we will have finished the board. So if everyone will click on Titus, I will push his recording. Okay. It's not starting. Okay. Sweet, will you tell everyone what's happening on your show while I see why this is not playing?
Wednesday night, Hump Night Sweet Discussion is now on Hump Day. We are going to talk about having one of those days. Just bring me anything about having one of those awful or good days. If one of those days you consider one of your best days, bring me a poem about that. This one of those days came to me about a poor dog that had one of those days, or actually the owner may have had one of those days, but this beautiful dog was tied to a fire hydrant. The dog's name is Baby Girl. The note was, unfortunately, due to circumstances that nobody knows, the owner could not take care of the dog. But the dog was well kept. She was there with her favorite snack, a backpack full of toys. The dog, obviously, is a heartbreak for this owner to have to surrender the dog. But, they were all just having one of those days, and luckily this dog was found immediately and taken care of. But, we all have one of those days where decisions aren't easy to make. So that's what Wednesday's show is about. Just come and let's talk about having one of those days. Wednesday night,
awesome.
11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Looking forward to it. And since we're on the topic, I also want to point out that tomorrow night at 8, Sky Darkholm will be taking us down the tube with really random stuff. And she's got really cool prompts. You can choose between the peacock, mantis, shrimp, the Dumbo octopus, or the Yeti. And the Yeti crab really looks hairy, so check out her topics. They look like they're going to be really fun. And I think the sound clip for Titus is just fine, so go ahead and click on that, and we will see what he brought for us.
The 8th most wonderful sight. Canyons collide to half long distance love. Now braided with mountains, a rainbow above, making ours the 8th most wonderful sight. To exceed the Taj Mahal, for her beauty might be unfounded, while the Shah Jahan does rely on whose envy isn't diamonds, but the sky. The rivers serve as mirrors for the amusement of lovemaking. Taking every breath, the ascent, the lake bestows the comfort of an idyllic land. Onyx and ivory white, her purity is as grand a moonlight I have seen upon that horizon. Pointing at the edges of what might we upon sit, like Greek gods she matches any wonder, why the path to your heart may put asunder. Constellations are put to good cause, for hours our stars have been plucked. The small hours it would mean feather light, for beauty sleep. Under starlight, a throw is hoisted, don't peek. Rumor I take it north of where I first went. In Masuri, an angel, the secret I have kept.
Well, I love listening to him read. He's also one of the poets on All Poetry that can take a word bank and really spin an amazing poem. To exceed the Taj Mahal, for her beauty might be unfounded, while the Shah Jahan does rely on whose envy isn't diamonds, but the sky. I love the thought of that. It's not, I don't envy the diamonds. I envy the sky and the colors and the beauty. I really, really like that. The rivers serve as a mirror for the amusement of lovemaking, taking every breath, the ascent. The lake bestows a comfort of an idyllic land. It's really gorgeous, the colors onyx and ivory white. Her purity is as grand, the moonlight I have seen. It's like a declaration there, as grand a beauty as I've ever seen. Constellations are put to good cause, for hours her stars have been plucked. The small hours, it would mean feather light for beauty sleep. I mean, how could you not sleep under the, you know, I mean, to get your beauty sleep in the Taj Mahal. But I like how he incorporated everything from the gorgeous sky to the reflecting pool in the front. It's just a breathtaking right. And rumor I take it north of where I first wept. There's a sadness to the thought. And then I think, well, I could have just been overwhelmed by it and tears spilled. So there's a lot of different ways that could be taken. But I think that the right from the start, right from the opening line, canyons collide. I love canyons collide. Really, really awesome piece. I appreciate the sound cloud, because it's his pronunciations, it's the way he emphasizes, it's the emotion you can hear in his voice as he reads. I really think he did an excellent job with this. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was I'm always amazed at how well someone can put together a word bank. I feel handcuffed sometimes, but that's just me. He does an outstanding job. There was one part that I was questioning. The way he wrote it, it would have been read totally different being the line structure. Now I'm thinking, is that my phone? Am I picking up the font and structure is different? Where the ending of one line does not necessarily start the next line and vice versa. It's like the sentence was cut off and the next sentence started, and I was wondering if that was my phone, if that was intentionally done. But always impressed by Titus. Good job.
Awesome comment. David?
Thank you, Deb. I thought this was really, really fantastic. Titus always writes great stuff. It deserves the title great because I think it is. Kim Weisberg was a, I don't know if he's still playing or not, but he used to be one of the most outrageous flutists back in the 70s, and he did an entire album sitting inside the Taj Mahal playing his flute, and you should hear it. If you ever get a chance to hear it, listen to it. It's amazing. I mean, it's all of the acoustics inside the Taj Mahal give it a real eerie sound, but it's beautiful at the same time. And, Titus's poem here really describes that whole thing, it's not just the Taj Mahal, but it's the surrounding areas like this lake or whatever it is out in front of it. And, I really like that second stanza. The river serve us mirrors for the amusement of lovemaking. Taking every breath, the ascent bestows a comfort of the idyllic land. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Maybe one of these days I'll learn how to put words together like that. But this is really beautiful, really beautiful poem. Another one of my faves of his.
Fantastic comment, David. And my sweet, will you comment for Titus and then show us what you got?
Well, first off, I wrote on the board, yep, she took them all. I'm laughing at you. But I am like you, Candace Clyde. My goodness, please, and her diamonds, if you can be envy of the sky. And onyx and ivory white, her purity is grand. Although you did not take sits like Greek gods, she matches any wonder. I love that line because I have an affinity for Greek gods. But yes, Thor, you got nothing on her. You know, I all of them. Yeah. I love that, her stars, under starlight, a thrill is hosted. So it's just all so beautiful. I think it's gorgeous. And I think if I could only be a person that can bring up these visions of wonder and beauty and have that kind of love. I mean, I have yet to experience it. And he speaks of her wonder, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. His eyes must be smitten all the time. I just really love this piece.
What a cool metaphor in your comment. Great comment, my sweet. And thank you, Titus. And Wayne had to step away. He'll be back. So please show us what you got.
All right. This is, of course, East Einstein, which is one of my favorite places in the world. A meadow whispers. The alpine meadow whispers the scent of lavender and sage. The secrets of the dark crusades. History left her dying in the ruins of wild flowers. A swan night rose in the twilight to bring her out of shame. Mirrors of the past flash in platinum polished balls. Gold touches weaved into layers of marble stone. Indigo and silver glowed in her coat of arms. Protected by the knights of past, they kept watch in the two stair towers flanked right and left of her stage. Architect of romantic scene, a courtyard filled with gardens, a throne room guided by light of the Byzantine crown wisdom, but a dreamer took a walk to Peter's gate, and she was left unfinished. In notes of melancholy, a singer's hall now echoes hollow. The guiding light, The guiding light of the Byzantine crown stays dark in the silence. But her castle walls tell tales and songs of opera vibrance. 200 rooms stand empty, not a guest to stay. Bricks from old castles with stories left to say. Lie in ruins of history's yesterday. A castle for kings and lovers, for dreamers and those who wander. In starlight and shadows, she rises to mysteries and answers. Listen to the meadow whisper secrets and scents of lavender and sage and poem. Mm.
Well, sweet. You brought in emotion, you brought in the sights and the scents and wow, the alpine meadow whispered in scents of lavender and sage. That's a stunning opening. Keeping her king's secrets since the dawn of the Dark Crusades. Indigo and silver glowed in her coat of arms, protected by the knights of past. They kept watch, and the two stairs towers flanked right and left on her stage. The if I remember, I think I said that, something triggered for AP, and now something's triggering for me with you. I think that there's a history for you, a freedom that was gained by you tied to a castle. Is it the same castle? Mm-hmm. And am I...
This is the castle, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Absolutely.
And I could hear it in your voice as you read. It wasn't just some place or some beautiful image or whatever. It was something that meant something to you, and that's what triggered me to remember that I thought you had wrote before. I like architect of a romantic scene, a courtyard filled with gardens, a throne room guided by the light of the Byzantine crowd. But what I'm, where's the part? 200 rooms stand empty, no guests to stay. There's a sadness in the thought of all those rooms just sitting there empty. Bricks from old castles with stories left to say. The bricks with stories left to say is a brilliant way to say, in my mind, like if walls could talk, to have the story to say. In the ruins of history yesterday, just incredible, a castle for kings and lovers, for dreamers and those who wander in starlight and shadows. She rises to mysteries and answers. Listen to the meadow whispers secrets of scent and lavender and sage. And I like how we are back. We started out with those incredible whispers, the thought of those whispers of lavender and sage, and you tied it all back to those whispers and the secrets, in the sense of the secrets in the sense, like as if that you would smell it and it would trigger something that was buried in the past. So I think that this is pretty deep and impressive, but you always are. Amazing share. Hatter, you can comment for our...
Yeah, it First of all, these castles always fascinated me. One thing I always wanted to do was do a castle tour of Portugal, Spain, Germany, France, that kind of thing. But these Swiss ones are always fascinating because how cold that would be. What century was that built, would you say?
In 1800s by King Ludwig II in the late 1800s. Late 1800s, but he was building it in the ruins of the Schweinstein, which was a castle that his father took from the ruins of the three original castles surrounded that area. Back in the Dark Ages, in the way back when. So they had always been in Bulgaria, I think it's Bulgaria, yeah. And they're actually in Germany. They're German castles. So they're from the ruins of the original castles.
Okay, there's a style or an architect. I can't remember his name, but I know there's a difference. When you can tell his influence, there's a time in history where if you notice the tall tower, the steeples and stuff. I believe this is his influence.
Romanticism. It's the Romanticism period, off the top of my head, I can't tell you what it is. Correct, but yeah. This is starting the Romanticism kind of period of castle building, and it's all about that. As a matter of fact, this castle was built around Robert Wagner, who was a writer, singer, whatever, and the whole inside of these castle walls, the paintings are sagas to his operas. So it's all the sagas of Robert Wagner's operas. So it's pretty intense when you go in there, and he has this hall, which is the Singer's Hall, and that's very beautiful. But the inside was never finished because of the death of King Ludwig II. And since he had done the castle with his own money, the state, Bulgaria, and all them, they didn't want to put any of their money into it. So he was building this out of his own funds. And when he passed, it kind of just laid there for a while until it was picked up to start being redone. But it's kind of still in the same state as when he left it. And it's a tourist attraction more than anything.
His influence when castles were rebuilt, he never tore down and to build his own. He always added on. I guess his influence was how he incorporated it into an older style, into his. God, I wish I could remember his name, the architect. It was one of those evenings when nothing's on, so I'm watching this documentary on castle design. Yeah, beautifully written. Always, JP. Always.
Uh-huh. Awesome comment, Hatter. And David, will you comment for Sweet?
Sorry, I was on mute. I thought this was interesting because I'm fascinated with all this, a lot of this old architecture, castles and pyramids and whatnot. The one stanza that really stood out for me was the next to the last one. I think you mentioned it too, Deb. 200 rooms stand empty, not guests to stay. Bricks from old castles and stories left to say, lay again in the ruins of history's yesterdays. That's, That's pretty cool. Pretty cool stanza, and it's placed in a good position in the poem. It helps us, you know, kind of see what's going on. You know, sometimes these things are so lavish that they wear their welcome out, and pretty soon there's nobody to fill up 200 rooms anymore, and that is kind of sad. It does cast a sort of a sadness, you know, on this building here. You know, indigo and silver glowed in her coat of arms, protected by the knights of past. They kept watch in the two stairs, towers flanked right and left of her stage. You know, putting the knights of the past in there, that's another nice touch, I thought. This was really well done. Sweet. And it looks like you did your homework on this very well. So, nice job.
Thank you.
Comments, everyone. Thank you, my sweet. Okay, we just got three left. If you guys click on Angels, I'll read for her, and then the last two are recordings. And, okay, Angel, this is called Eternity by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Life, my friend, is nothing more than a chance to learn and grow. We may walk on different shores. Our horizons may be colored in different shades, but it is really a life you lead if you stay bundled up inside. All of creation gazes at the same skyline, takes in the wonders of the world, constellations, or the silver sparks of the stars as they streak across the twilight. What good is it to live surfing through life if no one knows you're there? What good are all your emotions if you never show you care? We were created to be weaved together, to find a similar path, to open up your heart to all, color your horizons with hope and brotherhood, and fill your life with love. You will find much more worth in the skies above if your book of life, walking into eternity. May this be the mantra. They say there are seven wonders in the world, but what they say is out of date. There's more than seven wonders in the world. I just met number 8. And that comment is by Jimmy Clanton and Pum. Actually, I said comment, but I meant lyrics from the song. Eternity says a lot in just the one statement. And she chose the, for those who can't see, the Aurora Australis, and the colors are magnificent. And I like the message that she put in there, especially right from the beginning. Life, my friend, is nothing more than a chance to learn and grow. How true is that? I mean, quite yeah. often you really do learn something every day, even if you didn't set out to. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the words, all of creation gazes at the same skyline and takes in the wonders of the world. So true. And never more than what's going on in the world between the prices skyrocketing for gas and the prices for food and the prices for everything going up between COVID and the war. And it's just, if all the stuff that we have seen in a lifetime wasn't enough, the stuff that's been going on in the last 2+ years sure did teach us the lesson that it really is just one big world. And I, you know, you can't help but think that maybe if we acted like we were all neighbors in one big happy family, we might not be in the position we are some of these days. But I like the message. I like the wording. I like the feel. And it's, I'm seeing here, is a multi-award winner because she's had it in a couple of contests. I think she did a brilliant job. And as always, I am totally honored to be her reader. beautiful work, Angel. Thank you. My sweet, you want to go first this time?
Well, you know that one. Make misty eyes. Just stop, take a breath, love more, and judge less.
Awesome. And Hatter?
Yeah, it sure is. It's always so beautiful. It leaves you with a warm fuzzy. Now, you said the line by Jimmy Clanton, which the last verse?
Yeah, the last, you see, as she put, may this be the mantra, and then in quotes,
yeah,
she wrote, peace from the yeah.
This is so
long.
Oh, I get it. I see it now. Okay.
Well, yeah. Okay. So that's that.
They say there's seven wonders in the world. What they say is out of date. There's more than seven wonders in the world. I just met number eight.
Number
eight.
Yeah. He just met. And the song. It's a love song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just put that word out because he mentions the wonders of the world. But yeah, it's a love song. You should take a listen to it. My parents
because
used to listen to it.
Because you're the wonder of the world, Deb.
Hatter, are you on medication?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little hat.
But thank you. Awesome comment. David?
Well, I self-medicate myself from time to time. I've been known to do that. This is really a beautiful poem. She's so right. The first stanza there says, life, my friend, is nothing more than a chance to learn and grow. You know, that's exactly what's going on. The good Lord puts us on the earth, and, he just says, okay, here you go. Learn what you can. And some people take advantage of that. Some people don't. To me, the people that don't, it's a wasted life, I think, unless you have a severe learning disability, but most people don't. And we just go on this learning curve. It's such a broad thing that you can't even focus it down into the universities. I mean, it encompasses the whole point of living. Emotions and love and being married and getting divorced and. And all of the stuff that, unkindness to man and those sorts of things, those are all things that we need to learn, I think Angel did a really fine job of summing all that up here. All of creation gazes at the same skyline. There you go. Takes in the wonders of the world, such as the hot indigo glow of the constellations or the silver sparks of the stars as they streak across the twilight. Yeah, you sit outside on a summer night, especially like up in my house, I can go right out on the front yard there and it's just pitch black out there and the stars are just screaming at you. You kick back and you take a beer out there and joint or whatever you want to do and just relax and look up, and pretty soon you'll see a shooting star that goes by, and or maybe a couple of them if you're lucky, and makes you realize how cool things really are. It helps you forget all the crap that's going on in the world, and at least that does for me anyway. So the Angel reminded me of all of this with this poem. She's a really, really good poetess. I appreciate her.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, everyone. Now, if we only have two left, if you click on Gerald's poem, I will push play.
Got it.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry.
Hello, area code 602. Who am I speaking
Liberty's to? Liberty's Challenge, written and read by Gerald Green. Epigram. Grab this chance to wander yonder, by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Poem. How few can wander past the edge of town without restraint of time or love. Society entwines with braided chains of what's expected of the would-be gone. Tomorrow I will leave, she says again, repeating how she felt last time. Am I at liberty to choose or not? Her rising voice still ringing in my ear. And yet I saw her shopping yesterday, consumed with more of what she wants, imprisoned here among the rest of us, who stifle twilight's urge and freedom's call. I sympathize with feelings and desire for something else, for anything to shake this cradled culture, leave behind what's staining and deserves to die. But here I live, unable to depart, to fly beyond horizon's edge. Like her, I tried but failed to say goodbye, and now my shadowed future cannot change. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Way cool. Look at, how about that ending? Like her, I tried but failed to say goodbye, and now my shadowed future cannot change. Talk about a powerful ending there.
Yeah.
Actually, right from the very beginning, grab the chance to wander yonder. How few can wander past the edge of town without restraint of time or love? It's true, there's always a time constraint. You can't just wander around. Society entwines with braided chains of what's expected. True. Towards the middle. And yet I saw her shopping yesterday, consumed with more of what she wants, imprisoned among the rest of us who stifle twilight's urge and freedom's call. This is a gorgeous tribute, and I'm thinking, and I saw her shopping yesterday, and you know, you're out and you turn your head and you see that across the river. You see her sitting in the center of that island. That is already amazing, but to actually go over and stand next to her, to go inside, it's amazing. And I had been there before and after the restorations. And after the restorations on the inside, you can see some of the old parts where needed replacements and stuff. But there's, you can't imagine until you're standing there what it's like. Because it's just like her foot is as big as a human person. So it's just, you know, she's standing there in her sandals holding up that torch. And I think that he did an amazing tribute to her. And I still, back to the ending again, like her, I tried but failed to say goodbye, and now my shadowed future cannot change. It's like, just can't leave. It's home. It's where I live, unable to depart. I think this came out excellent. David, you want to comment first this time?
Sure. Gerald really captured the essence of the Statue of Liberty here, I think. You know, and it put a whole different perspective on how I look at her, and you know, I would like to see it. I'm envious that I haven't seen it in person like you have, Deb. But you know, it's an amazing statue. It's a beautiful statue. It really, really drives home what America is all about, or what it used to be all about. I don't like using a past tense, but, you know, this is tomorrow I will leave, she says again, repeating how she felt last time. Am I at liberty to choose or not? Her rising voice still ringing in my ear. This has a definite sadness to it, to me. I'm glad that Gerald wrote this because people need to read this, no matter whether you live in the United States or the UK, you know, Australia, New Zealand, whatever. People need to read this and reflect on it. I thought it was a beautiful poem.
Fabulous comment. And Hatter?
I have a question. Who is when she says she, is she talking about the Statue of Liberty, or is she talking about something else?
Yeah,
I understand that that's why she's stuck there. She's unable to depart.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe it was
Lady Liberty.
Okay.
At least in my
own purpose. You're probably right. You're probably right. I just thought, knowing how Gerald writes, that maybe there was another something added to that, or that I couldn't leave. An awareness, or a history of something like that. But I'm on medication, so don't mind me.
That's okay. Awesome comment. And my sweet?
I think it's a brave nod to what's the history of what we're supposed to be and hopefully what we can become again. I think the lady in the harbor at times in our history has hung her head in shame. At times has held her head with pride. And I think her story stands true, and I think Gerald told it beautifully. And I think she questions us, and I think she has a right to question us.
Yeah,
and I think that's
too.
The crux of what he's doing. And, wow, I just, I'm a very patriotic person, and this is one that sets my soul deep. And I think he did a hell of a job with it.
You know, my grandparents were one of the Ellis Islands that came from Belgium to escape King Leopold's regime in Belgium. And so they did.
That's
the Ellis
amazing.
Island, was greeted by the, you know, and the library of all the signatures and people, where they came from, what boat they parted from, what time they showed up. And pointed them west and said, go settle. They were settlers, able to claim land. Mine ended up in Nebraska. To travel at that time, 1800s, to travel across the country from New York to Nebraska to find a piece of land and register it, it's quite remarkable in itself.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's no freeways, there's no highway, there's a trail to you.
Right. You made a point. It is fascinating. You can look at all the signatures. Like, you go and you enter your name, and they pull up, and they're there. And to see all different signatures and where the name came from and stuff like that is very awesome.
Yeah.
Great share. And the last poem on the board is by Phil the Poet. And if you guys click on that, I shall push play. And while I'm doing that, someone on hold at area code 602 is listening. I'm glad you're here. I don't know if you can't hear me. I tried to answer you a couple of times and didn't get a response. You just think that I was ignoring you. I don't know what's up. In the meantime, let's listen to Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Five Colors of Solitude. The tide flows crimson like the Nile. Floating braided constellations collide, forming twilight canyons of color. A tranquil horizon melts away like butter. Lavender sways towards the shoreline, retracts to the call of a rhythmic time. Shades of indigo fade at the river's edge, tossing dreams from a mountain's ledge. Shadows of birds fly in a figure of eight over a sapphire crested hidden lake. Mingled rings of tinted titanium reflecting the paths of stained radium. Branches hanging over a jade-tinted cradle, towering above a rainbow water label. Emerging from an artist's broken palette, the skyline playing cosmic roulette. Lemon drops burst into a pointed spark, lapping at the roots of a willow's bark, swimming towards the mirror's ridge, rising up to meet the moonlight bridge. End poem.
Now, if you take a look on the chat wall, I added Boldum that he wrote to. And he turned around and he brought all those colors to life in vivid wording. Man, the tide flows crimson like the Nile. Seeing great installations collide, forming twilight canyons of color. A tranquil horizon melts away like butter. And again, I say, if you look at that photo, the reds are like brilliant. And it does look sort of like it's melting, like maybe wax melting. So the wording there is spot on. Shadows of birds fly in a figure eight over a sapphire-crested hidden lake, mingled with rings of tinted titanium reflecting a path of stained radium. I think that the rhyme is awesome, the use of color, getting to listen to him read also is always a treat. And I like lemon drops burst into pointed spark, lapping the roots of a willow bark. Really, really cool, fun rhyme with this one. I like where he took it, incorporated it from the quote, "I live to see the seven wonders." So it seems like a lot of people were taken by the Fleetwood Mac lyrics themselves. Impressive. Mm-hmm. As always, Bill, thank you so much. And David, do you want to go first with that?
Sure. Yeah, Phil did a really fine job on this with the prompt and everything. Lavender sways towards the shoreline, reacts to the call of the rhythmic time. Shades of indigo fade at the river's edge, tossing dreams from a mountain's ledge. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just amazing what humans can make other humans see with words. That blows me away. And that's part of the nobility of the human spirit, I think, is being able to do that and recognize beauty when we see it. Most of us can. Bill certainly knows how. It shows in the way he writes and the way he reads and the way he enunciates his words and the everything. And I thought this was really a nice poem. I like the way he writes very much.
Great comment, David. And my sweet has dropped. So how did the last comment of the night go to you?
Well, one thing Phil's got to learn is when you get a chance to mention butter, you have to say it like, you know, like butter. Like butter.
That's right.
Phil is just an amazing poet. Love hearing him read. Does a great job with the colors and the imagery. Never a problem. Very consistent and great write.
Awesome comment. Some amazing poetry tonight, as usual. I'm in awe at the end of my show every week with some of the brilliance that Dorn. It's totally incredible. And, I mean, lucky me, I get to hang out with you guys every week, so, like, there's that, too. So, in the meantime, before I do the close-up, I just wanted to tell everyone that my topic for next Monday is called Send in the Clowns. And I have a word bank. I also have some song lyrics and stuff to choose from. And some really cool art. There's funny, there's scary, and hopefully there'll be something that speaks to each of you. And I am putting the link on the chat wall right now so you can take a peek and see which clown speaks to you.
And
the song, or I'm sorry, the title or theme for the show, as I said, is Send in the Clowns. And as a special treat, AP Taylor has recorded the song Send in the Clowns as the intro song. So we have that to open the show up.
Who sings that? Who plays that?
Well, Barbara Streisand sings it. Frank Sinatra sings it. And AP sings it. Send in the Clowns? Yeah. AP did it in the style of Frank Sinatra. So,
all right.
Looking forward to that. And in the meantime, since we started out with Fleetwood Mac, I figured we've got to close out with the word you cannot say. But before we do that, I want to take a moment. Bye.
Our first on birthday. Party is Friday.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Did you want to talk about Friday?
I'm thinking either going to visit the Beatles or revisit the Wrecking Crew, the who's responsible for 85% of all music as you know it. In during the about a decade of time through the 60s and early 70s. So what do you feel like? Beatles?
I don't know. I like when you dig into the Wrecking Crew. But whatever floats your boat, it's your non-birthday.
Let's celebrate it with the Wrecking Crew. We've only had one show, and there's so much information about these guys. The Wrecking Crew.
Well, sounds like a plan, and that's Friday the 13th, celebrating an unbirthday with Mr. J. Hatter.
I'll be sending out uninvitations to everybody.
Uninvitations. Sounds pretty cool. All right, so before we dive into Hatter's amazing song, I want to take a moment to thank my board members. One being Jay Hatter, and one being Sweet Pea, and the other being Mr. A.P. Taylor down from Oz. And I want to thank Kay and Steven and Hal and Wayne and Angel and Titus and Phil and Gerald for the awesome poems. And I want to thank David for hanging out with us all night and for his awesome poems.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you all very much and look forward to getting to hang out with you each week and look forward to seeing what you guys do with your clown choice next week. I appreciate you all very much. With love and respect from the bottom of my heart, I'm going to send us love with a song written by my big brother, Jay Hutter, and the singer and writer of the beautiful music for Hutter's poem is Shout Even Shine. And it's become a favorite around here. Here we go. Love and respect.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
to wave the ice cream man down today, and he wouldn't stop.
He tried to run him down?
No, I tried to wave him down. Over here.
And he ignored you? How dare he?
I don't know if he saw me, but I was crushed.
I bet you were.
I wanted an ice cream so bad.
That's sad, but you didn't need the stomach ache, but the lactose anyway.
And lactose intolerant, yeah. Did me a favor.
Yeah. But beautiful song, Hatter.
Great show, Deb.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love and respect.